when I was asked to give titles about what I might speak about, I didn't really look at the calendar and the dates and put everything together. I just gave a list of topics that I think are important to speak about, important to hear about, and to learn about. And when everything came together and we came up with the title of Tear Down That Wall, Take Down That Wall, Avat Chidim, according to Rav Kook, I didn't realize that today was Veterans Day, which is very important to Avat Chidim, which I'll tell you in a minute. And it's in two ways. The Veterans Day really comes to honor those people who gave of themselves, who are Moser Nefesh, not necessarily died, that's really Memorial Day, but people who went ahead and sacrificed themselves and put themselves on the line for other people. And there's no greater Avat Chinam than doing that. There's really no greater Avat Chinam than a person who gives of himself and puts himself in danger to protect for the safety of another person. And as a matter of fact, Rav Kook himself said that in the parsha that we laid in last week, when it came to the idea that Lot was taken capture, and Avram found that his cousin Lot was taken capture, it says, Vayarek es chanichav, that he prepared his trained ones. And Rashi tells us that he prepared militarily for this battle in order to get his cousin back. And says Rav Kook, Rav Tzvi Yehuda says in the name of his father, that there is no greater Avat Chidim than a person, a nice, kind person, a person of chesed, as Avram Avinu is, would go ahead and change his character in order to save his cousin. That is true Avat Chinam. So I think on a day like today, Veterans Day, where we recognize the sacrifice and the dedication of people who put their lives on the line for the safety and protection of others, that it is really appropriate to speak about Avat Chinam. But there's more, because the title of the night's lecture is Tear Down That Wall, Take Down That Wall. That was probably the most famous speech of President Ronald Reagan. In the summer of 1987, he made it what was made to came to be known as the Berlin Wall speech. And he talked to Gorbachev, who was the president of the Soviet Union, and he said, tear down that wall. And it happens to be that this week is the 30th year anniversary, not of Ronald Reagan's speech, but of the actual coming down, the tearing down of the Berlin Wall. So once again, it wasn't me, it was HaKadosh Baruch Hu who put everything together, that tonight, as we're talking about Avat Chinam, that Veterans Day and the tearing down of the Berlin Wall came together. To give an insight of the necessity of Avat Chinam, we have to understand what the opposite is. Sina, hatred. Sina chinam, baseless hatred. And I want to tell a story. I served as a couple of years as a rav in a shul in Beit Shemesh. And the wonderful families, younger families there. And there was a adorable child in the kehillah. His name is Avi. And Avi's father worked in Chul, not too far from Israel, not as far as the United States. He would leave on Monday morning and he would come back on Thursday night or Friday morning. And Avi is a very well-behaved young boy. Even at 3 years old, he was a well-behaved young boy. And he had a very special custom every night. He would say Shema, the way a three-year-old would say Shema. And he would stand at the end of his bed. And he would say Shema, probably just the first pasuk, maybe a little bit more. And he told his parents that he stood in that place because that was his shul. That was the shul that he liked to daven in, and he said his Shema every night before going to bed at his shul. One Friday night, after Avi's father returned from his work week in Chul, he came to me excitedly after davening, and he says, remember Avi's shul? I said, yeah. He says, well, my wife told me an interesting thing. This week, on Tuesday night, when I was away in England, and my wife went to put Avi to bed, she saw that he was standing on the other side of the bed, saying Shema as he did every other night. And she said, Avi, what happened? Why did you change places? And three-year-old Avi said, I don't like davening in that shul anymore. And his father told me that he had to relay what Avi told him. Now you have to understand, these people are the most wonderful people in the world. Now, I don't know if he was giving me a message about the shul or not, but I don't think so, because he continued to daven in the shul and he continues today to daven in the shul. But I think what happened with Avi is an indication of how things filter down. And it's the problem, and very, very possibly the solution, of the walls that are created by Sinat Chinam and the possibility to easily implement Avat Chinam. There's a Gemara in Masechet Brachot. Gemara Masechet Brachot says, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Yom Shachar Beit HaMikdash Nifsaka Chomet Barzel Ben Yisrael Laviyam Shabbat Shemayim. From the time that the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, by the way, the Gemara is talking about the first Beit HaMikdash, there was a Chomat Barzel. Now, Choma is usually a wall. This is actually talking about a separation, a Mechitzat Barzel, because it was going above our heads, Ki'ilu. Shenamar Va'ata Kachal Chomet Barzel V'nata Ota Kir Barzel Ben Chol Ben Zayir. And the Gemara quotes a passage in Yechezkel, in the Navi Yechezkel, which talks about and what it means is that there is a separation, that Barzo is a separation. And when we, as the Jewish people, committed the sins of the first Beis HaMikdash, which were the three cardinal sins of immorality and idol worship and murder, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to destroy the Beit HaMikdash, and there was now a separation. Rav Kook, in various places, not in the Sefer, but in Ma'amarim, said an interesting point. A ceiling can only be supported by walls. But the Gemara and the Pasuk in Yechezkel don't talk about walls. It talks only about this ceiling, this iron ceiling that separated us between us and Hashem because of those sins between us and Hashem. So what are the walls that are holding up this iron ceiling? Those are the walls that are between people. And in fact, the second Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, not because of those sins between the Jewish people and Hashem, but between the Sinat Chinam. The walls were created, the Sinat Chinam, between each other, the different factions with the Jewish people. Just as a historical note, many people don't know this, how many sects of Judaism were there at the time of the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash? Now, today, how many are there? Let's say there are three main ones, and there's Reconstructionists, and maybe there's a couple others within each of the denominations. You want to take a guess how many there were at the destruction of the second Beit HaMikdash? 93. The Parshanim required that there were 93 different sects of Judaism at the time. There was such a piru, there was such a separation, there were 93 different sects of Judaism, and their hatred for each other, caused the Beit HaMikdash to be destroyed. Rav Kook says as follows. He says in Orot, Im nacharvnu, if we were destroyed, v'nacharv ha'olam imanu, and the world was destroyed with us. He's talking about the Beit HaMikdash and the galut that happened. Al yidei sinat chinam, through the sinat chinam, nashuv libanot, it will be rebuilt. The Beit HaMikdash will be rebuilt, and the Jewish people will be rebuilt. V'olam imanu yibaneh, and the entire world with us will be built. Al yidei ahavat chinam, through baseless love. Baseless hatred caused the destruction. Baseless love will cause the rebuilding and the ingathering of the Jewish people. And he says that in Orot, this famous Sefer Orot. So in order to understand what is Sinat Chinam and Avat Chinam, we have to understand the words. And there's a little bit of a historical problem here. Sinat Chinam is spoken about in the Gemara. It's alluded to in the Psukim. But really, there's no mention of the idea of Ahavat Chinam before the last 200 years. Some people credit Rav Kook of coming, he actually says Ahavat Chinam. Some people say the Pele Yoetz, who lived about 100 years before, spoke about Ahavat Chinam. But if you go earlier, there's almost no Jewish source, classical or otherwise, that says or speaks about the idea of Ahavat Chinam, that there should be a baseless love. The word ahava comes from the word hav, which is to give. Hav means to give. A lot of people base their love on what people give them. I love them because they can give this and this and this to me. But we know, the Mishnah says, that kol ahava shatluya badavar, if it is based on something, it's not going to be a lasting love. really, the love that's everlasting love is nava shelo tuluya badavar. A person should not look for what he or she is getting out of a relationship, but what they can give. Ahava, I love a person because what I can contribute. And that is both on a personal level and on a national level. What in my relationship with my spouse, my children, my friends, what can I give to them? That's a love. And as a nation, what can an individual in the nation contribute as well? The Torah talks about the mitzvah of love and hate. And the most famous pasuk is Lo tikam v'lo titor. It's in the pasuk in Vayikra. Et b'nei amecha v'yahavta l'yarecha kamocha ani Hashem. V'yahavta l'yarecha kamocha. In that pasuk, there are two mitzvot. There's a mitzvah lo tasei. There's a negative commandment that a person should not take revenge on another person or hold a grudge. And there's a positive mitzvah, v'yahavta l'yarecha kamocha. You should love your neighbor as yourself. And it's interesting that this idea of loving your neighbor is repeated again shortly later in the same perek. Ke'ezrach mikem yelachem, just like the native among you, hager hagaritchem, shall be the ger, shall be the stranger who comes into your midst. V'ahavta lo kamocha, same idea, you have to love him like yourself. Ki gerim hayitem be'eretz Mitzrayim, ani Hashem Elokeichem. And of course the question arises, why is there a need? Once there is a mitzvah, v'ahavta l'yarecha kamocha, why does the pasuk have to come and repeat it for a ger? And then, in between those two pesukim is another one, those tisna es achicha bilvavecha, you shouldn't hate your brother in your heart, ocheich tochiach samitecha, lo tisa alav chet. So here there are four mitzvot in three pesukim. There is the mitzvah lo taseh of lo tisna, that you should not hate your brother. There's lo tikam v'lo titor, which means you should not take revenge or hold a grudge. And then there's two positive mitzvahs, v'ahavta l'recha kamocha, and v'ahavta l'recha kamocha, again, specifically applying to the ger. So the Sefer HaChinuch, who classifies all the mitzvot, he says, Shelo lisna achim. You're not supposed to hate your brother. That comes before v'ahavta l'recha kamocha. Shelo lisna lisidat alev achad miYisrael. That you should not have any hatred, he says, for anyone among the Jewish people. Shenemar lo tisnes achicha b'vavecha. He quotes the pasuk in Sefer HaChinuch, comes from the Parsha. And he talks specifically about sinah shebelev, the hatred that a person doesn't see, the hatred that a person holds in his heart. And he says, "Besinah shebelev hakatuv medaber." It's talking about sinah that a person doesn't express outwardly. Avakeshirlo sinah v'yedu shusoyna ena overal zehalav. But if he makes his hatred known, guess what? He did not transgress that particular avera, that particular sin. Amnam hu over alotikam velotitar. What he did transgress was holding a grudge or taking revenge. So when you do it outwardly and you show that you hate a person, that it's one lav. That's why, by the way, that there are three psukim and there are four different mitzvot, because there is the hatred that a person will keep inside, and there's a hatred that he shows. However, the Sefer Chinuch says that the hatred a person keeps in his heart is actually much worse than, like, you, if you know your enemy, it's much better. If you don't know your enemy, it's much more difficult to deal with. And he says, what is the shoresh of the mitzvah? Ki sina talev goremet rod gedolot ben b'nei adam liotamin harav ish ba'achim ish ba'reu. The sin of causes, it is the root of all evil. Not money. Not money. Money is not the root of all evil. Hatred is the root of all evil, according to the Chinuch. V'yisibah l'chol ha'masirat na'asu ben anashim. He said all the problems stem from this hatred. And he says an interesting point, and that's a big point of where Rav Kook comes into the discussion later. This avera of hating another person is applicable at all times, male or female, over live kevasina belibachar mikol Yisrael hakisherim. The Sefer HaChinuch says an interesting line. He says, from all kosher Jews. And where does he get that from? V'ahavta l'recha kamocha, which is the positive commandment, is re'echa. So the Chafetz Chaim has explained, just re'echa and achicha. Re'echa and achicha are similar in that re'echa could be even a non-relative. Achicha, we think, is a relative. What the common denominator is that they are like you. that they are a reyacha or achicha b'mitzvot. And that's the basis of what the Chinuch is saying, that it seems to only apply to Yisraelim k'sherim, whatever that means. Then there's the mitzvah aseh, there's the positive commandment v'yahavta reyacha kamocha, which is later on. He says, mitzvah avat Yisrael, lohev kol echad miyisrael ahavat nefesh. And he goes through all of the ways that a person loves v'yahavta reyacha kamocha. One very interesting note is where he says sina is only an avera, according to him, against Yisraelim kisherim. Again, we'll speak about that in a moment. The mitzvah of ahava, he does not say that you only have to love a Yisrael kasher. The mitzvah v'yahavta l'reicha kamocha. Now, maybe some people will go ahead and say, well, if it's reicha and kamocha, then it has to be you. If you are a shomrei Torah mitzvot, it has to be also for a shomrei Torah mitzvot. But it's not necessarily that way. It's not necessarily that way. Rabbi Akiva famously said, it's quoted in the Sifra, that v'yahavta l'reicha kamocha zeh klal gadol b'Torah. And what does it mean, zeh klal gadol b'Torah? So again, the Chinuch quotes this Sifra of Rabbi Akiva, and he says, klal gadol b'Torah means that many other of the mitzvot depend on the idea of v'yahavta l'reicha kamocha. The Rambam in Hilchot Avel, in Perek Dal of Hilchot Avel, where he talks about all the mitzvot bein adam l'chaveru, whether it is Bikur Cholim, or Levayat HaMeis, or Hachnasat Kala, or all of them, he lists them. He says that they are mitzvot derabanan, that they're mitzvah divrei sofrim, but they all stem from v'yahavta l'reicha kamocha. So when Rabbi Akiva says, zeh klal gadol b'Torah, the Rambam says, lahalacha, and Rav Kook explains practically that all mitzvot ben adam l'chavero stem from v'yahavta l'reicha kamocha. Once we have a mitzvah in the Torah that we have to love other people, so therefore we have an obligation to do those mitzvot, and hence zeh klal gadol b'Torah. But there's a famous story that Rabbi Akiva is related to that. The famous story of the non-Jewish person who comes to Shammai and he comes to Hillel. And he has an unusual request. What is his request? Please teach me the entire Torah standing on one foot. So what does Shammai do? Shammai, who was not as a tolerant as a personality, we will call him a type A personality, he kicks the guy out of his house. And he goes from Shammai to the other leader of the generation, and he knocks on the door, and Hillel opens the door. And again, the Gemara says that this is along with the same Gemara that Hillel was busy in his Shabbat preparations. And he goes and he asks Hillel, teach me the entire Torah standing on one foot. And the Parshanim, by the way, go back and forth. Was he sincere or not? There are those who say he was sincerely wanted to become a ger, to convert into the Jewish people, and he wanted the easiest way possible. There are others who say no. He wanted to invoke the anger of Hillel the same way he invoked the anger of Shammai. So what does Hillel answer him? Okay, pick up your foot. He says, Mar says, pick up your foot. He picks up his foot and he says, repeat after me, anything that you don't like done to you, don't do to someone else. Everything else is commentary. You want to learn all the Torah on one foot, in one second, in one mishpat? Don't do to others what you would not have done to you. Everything else is commentary. Rabbi Akiva says, v'yahavta l'reicha kamocha zeh klal gadol b'Torah. And Hillel said it differently. Hillel said that this is, everything else is commentary, don't do to others. What is the fundamental difference between what Rabbi Akiva is saying and what Hillel is saying? Rabbi Akiva is saying something positive. V'yahavta l'reicha kamocha, love your neighbor as yourself, zeh klal gadol b'Torah. What is Hillel saying? Also very important, but Hillel's on the negative. Hill's on the negative, it's more passive. Don't do to someone else what you don't want done to you. And the Parshanim go back and forth, and Lahalacha, even though Hillel was great and the leader of his generation, most of the Parshanim seem to like what Rabbi Akiva said, that it's better to concentrate on the positive. It's better, as opposed to working on the sinah, don't hate another person by doing something that you wouldn't want done to you. It's more important v'yahavta l'reicha kamocha to work on a positive, because it does encompass everything. Concentrating on the positive is the ikar. and v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha. One of the things that Rav Kook says in his practical approach is v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha, is we say v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha, that you should love your neighbor as yourself. He says the key part is not reicha, and the key part is not even v'ahavta, it's kamocha, like you. Treat the other person as you treat yourself. Not necessarily like Hillel is relaying that don't do negatively to him, but v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha. In order to love other people, you have to love yourself. If you don't love yourself, then you're not going to be able to love other people. Very often, a person who seems to be a hateful person, seems to be a person who doesn't get along with others, is a person who doesn't love himself. We think quite the opposite. It manifests itself. He so loves himself so much, he can't stand anyone else. And it's the opposite which is true. He doesn't love himself. And because he doesn't love himself, he's not able to love another person. So Rav Kook says, v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha, kamocha comes first. Work kamocha, work on yourself. Once you work on yourself and you come to love yourself, loving other people will be much easier. So after all of the love that Rav Kook talks about in all of these places, there's a very interesting quote. And this quote is not brought down in any of his Sfarim, not in Orot, and not in Shimon HaKzavim, which I'm going to quote soon, not in other places. What's brought down in the name of Rav Kook from his Talmidim that he said more than once is very interesting. Rav Kook is quoted as saying, there's no such thing as Ahavat Chinam. All of my speaking and all of my writing about Ahavat Chinam, there's really no such thing as Ahavat Chinam. And the exact quote, and again, it's Baal Peh, we can't find it written anywhere, is Ein Musag Ahavat Chinam. Now, historically, he's correct. As I said before, you don't find anywhere in the Psukim, in the Gemara, in the Midrashim, the idea of Ahavat Chinam. He says, Madua Chinam. Why would it be for nothing? V'hare Yehudi hu, he is a Jew. V'ani chayav b'chvodo. That's not Chinam. Yesh rak sinat Chinam. If I hate a person, it's only a baseless hatred. Ahavat Chinam ein. So after all of his quotes, and I only quoted two or three places here, there are many places that Rav Kook talks about Ahavat Chinam. They say that this came at the end of his life. He said, with all of the talk of Ahavat Chinam, really there's no such thing. Because loving another person is not Chinam. Loving another person is the Klal Gadol Batorah of Rabbi Akiva. It is the way of everything except the commentary, according to Hillel, of loving another person. That being said, it's not easy. It's not easy. It's not easy to love another person. It's not easy. For some people it is, but generally it's not easy. Why isn't it easy? Partly because of what I mentioned before, we have to learn to love ourselves. But sometimes we look at those things that divide us. We look at those things that divide us. And unfortunately, if we see what the Parshanim say, what the Sefer Chinuch says, Yisraelim kisheirim, does that mean if someone is not as kosher as me, that I now have the ability to hate him? Does that mean if someone does not observe Torah u'mitzvot, that I don't have, that I have the ability to hate him because he's not, according to the Chinuch, a Yisrael kosher? What does that mean? What about someone who's not Jewish? Well, he doesn't fall into achicha or reacha at all. So here Rav Kook addresses in many different places. Rav Kook says, no. His most famous line was, when he was asked, how could you get in bed, excuse the expression, with people who are anti-Torah, who are anti-religion, in order to build a Jewish state? And his answer was, I'd rather err on the side of v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha. Who knows what is in the heart of another person? Who knows what is in the heart of another person? He also quoted many times that the second Beit HaMikdash was built specifically by people who were not the cream religiously of the crop, who were not people of the higher echelons of the spiritual part of the Jewish people, and yet look what they accomplished. And he would say the same thing about the people around him. But even people on the other side of the argument came with an explanation. The Chazon Ish is an icon in the Haredi world. His psach halacha is followed in many, many circles. His perush on different places and halacha on the Rambam. Shortly before his death in the mid-1950s, the Chazon Ish was asked, especially in Eretz Yisrael, but in the world at large, how are you supposed to interact with people who are not Shomrei Torah Mitzvot? How can you get along with them? How can you sit down in a Knesset with such people? How can you do this with such people? How can you be in business with such people? Doesn't the Chinuch quote that Yisraelim Kisheirim, you're supposed to hate if they're not Yisraelim Kisheirim? They're not Reyacha, they're not Kamocha, they're not Achicha. And in his famous Psak Halacha, wasn't it advice? It wasn't a suggestion. It wasn't a light moment. The Chazon Ish Paskin LaHalacha in 1952, that non-affiliated Jews have the din of a Tinok Shenishba. He said, LaHalacha, that non-affiliated Jews have the halacha of someone who was, God forbid, kidnapped as a child and grew up in a non-Jewish environment. He's not held responsible for his lack of knowledge and his lack of observance because he had no choice. He was anus, it was against his will. Said the Chazon Ish that the Jewish people by that time, because of the drift away from Torah Mitzvot, is no longer their fault. They're not doing it b'kavanah. They're not doing it consciously. Therefore, they are all Yisraelim Kisheirim. And he went a step further. I heard this from a rabbi in Baltimore, and it was confirmed for me by someone in Eretz Yisrael. And this is probably an even stronger psak. That at the time that the Chazon Ish said this, he said not only are the population of people considered Tinok Shenishba, their rabbinic leaders are as well. If someone is the product of a certain chinuch, and that's the way he was brought up, and therefore they are all Yisraelim Kisheirim, the rabbanim of those kehilot, the people themselves, and there is no heter to hate them. No heter, there is no permission whatsoever to hate them. They fall in the gather of the Ahavta L'Reicha Kamocha. This was said almost 70 years ago, over 70 years ago. Rav Kook, unfortunately, did not live to hear that psak. Rav Kook was nifter almost 20 years prior to the Chazon Ish's psak. But Rav Kook had passed in that way himself. Unfortunately, not everyone was mekabel when Rav Kook said it. But Rav Kook has, in his very famous mimer, he has an explanation, and he talks about the days of Elul. Now he says, and this was in Eretz Yisrael 80 years ago. He said, in the days of Elul, he talks about the Masa Machanot, and it's in the Mimer Haraya. So he says, in those days, he called all religious people Haredim. Anyone who was an observant person were called Haredim in those days. This is in the 1920s and 1930s. And the non-religious, who today would be called Chinonim, he called Chofshim. It wasn't his title. It was the title that the general populace was giving at that point. Haredim and Chofshim. And he says that they walk down the streets in the days before Rosh Hashanah, and each one is thinking about the other. The Haredi, and again, not necessarily Haredi as we think today in the social sense, but someone who's observant is saying, oh, that Chofshi, that person, that Chiloni, has no relation to me, has no connection to me, he doesn't understand God, he doesn't understand the Day of Judgment, he doesn't understand Tshuva, he doesn't understand any of that. What do I have to do with him? And says the Chofshim, according to Rav Kook, that Haredi guy, what's the connection? What is he talking about? What is Tshuva? What is Rosh Hashanah? What are those things? I have no connection to him. And they walk by themselves in the street. And he said, how wrong they both are. How far off are they both? Because they have a wall between them. There is a spiritual wall between them. And he says they have to understand the word of community. What is the Hebrew word for a community? A kehilah is a congregation. A community at large is a tzibur. Says Rav Kook, tzibur is a Rashi Tevot of tzadikim, benunim, virishayim. They're all one. That's what a tzibur is made. The Jewish people, the community of the Jewish nation, is made up of a tzibur. And every person has what to offer, every person has what to give, every person has what to receive. in a spiritual way, in a physical way, from the combination, the collective being of the Jewish people. And in order to have it tzibur, they must realize that they're all part of that tzibur. And it is through ahava, have, what can I give, not what am I going to get, will we reach that particular part. So the love comes from, again, loving ourselves. The love comes from realizing that every person has the ability to contribute. Not what am I going to get from him, what can I give to the community to make this a Jewish nation? Practical steps. Sometimes in our relationships with our spouse, with our children, with our friends, we do things totally unconsciously, but it makes a difference. There's a very famous story from Rav Pam. Rav Pam was the Rosh Hashiva of Tar Vadat. They called him the Chafetz Chaim of America. He's a very unique individual. Before he became the Rosh Hashiva, he taught younger children in the elementary school and the middle school of Tar Vadat. And like all other teachers, before he became Rosh Hashiva, he had to sit down at PTA. There were PTA conferences several times during the year. And a mother came and sat down with Rabbi Pam, and she said, I need to ask you, Rabbi Pam. He says, why do you hate my son? He says, hey, your son, I love your son. I love all of my students. What do you mean? He feels hated. And Rav Pam said when she heard the words, feels hated, from this woman, when he heard those words, a light bulb went off in his head, something that bothered him all the time. Yaakov Avinu had four wives, two main wives, Rachel and Leah, and he had Bilhah and Zilpah, who were the concubines, the secondary wives. How does the Torah describe Leah? That she was the snuah. She was the hated one. So Rav Pam said it always bothered him. How could it be that Yaakov Avinu, the Ish Tam, the Yosef Ohalim, the father of the Jewish people, even more than Avram Avinu, even more than Yitzchak, could hate anyone, particularly his wife, the mother of the majority of his children? Because every time that Yaakov did something more for Rachel, and Leah saw, she felt snuah. So Rav Pam said, now I understand. Thank you. First, thank you for explaining that to me. When you said, felt he feels hated, now I understand it's not that Yaakov hated. He's incapable of hating Leah. But his actions caused her to feel hated. It must be in the classroom that I'm doing something that your son interprets as me not liking him as much as someone else. Be'ezrat Hashem, tomorrow I will make sure to work on it. In our relationships, we have to be very careful, particularly if we have more than one child or more than one grandchild. Now, there's no such thing as loving a child or a grandchild more one than the other. Now, sometimes we like one more than the other. By the way, that's a part of the Yahavtalech Kamach. We might have an obligation to love everyone, but that doesn't mean we have to like them. Right? You can love someone without liking them. And Rav Kook says that even with the idea of the sinah, when there is a heter, according to the Chinuch and others, you're not really supposed to hate the person, perhaps their behavior. But we have to be careful in our relationships with our spouses, with our children, grandchildren, with our co-workers, with our friends. Are we doing something? Is there a nuance there that might come off as feeling less loved? Let's not say hated, let's say less loved. That's something that we can work on. Another nekuda is seeing the good of others, even when it's very difficult. I once had a group of Talmidim, and we were talking about the idea of sinah. And I said, it's very easy to hate and very difficult to love. So this is the project. I don't want to know a name. I gave them a piece of paper, and they took out a pen or a pencil, what they had. I said, I want you to think, no names. I want you to think the person that you really can't stand. I didn't like using the word hate. My house, hate was a four-letter word. I said, think of that person. Write an X, a Z, whatever is going to give you the connotation. Now, and think for about 15 seconds of why you hate that person. Why you don't, what do you dislike? And I was stopped. And everyone's sitting there. Most of the people are thinking, others are probably thinking about what's for lunch, and what they're going to do after school that day. I mean, these were middle school kids. I said, okay, now, I want you to think for the next 30 seconds about one positive thing about that person. 30 seconds of your time. And there was no exception. The entire classroom was obviously concentrating. I saw a snicker or two from the kids' mouths. I said, okay, now I want you to think about that. Every time you come to not being able to stand that person, I want you to think about the positive aspect. Once you think of one positive aspect, generally you can think of others. That's an exercise, it's a practical step in the Ahavta L'Recha Kamocha, to seeing the positive, Nekudat Tova, in other people. And as we come to what we hope is the end of the Galut, we already have the Tzmichat Gulatenu. We really have to concentrate, we have to think, as Rav Kook said, that if there is such a thing as Avat Chinam, because he did say it for many years before he decided to reverse himself, what can we do to foster and to flourish that Avat Chinam? What can we do to tear down those iron curtains, those walls? Gorbachev took down the Berlin Wall, and the world became a different world. It became a better place for tens of millions of people because the wall, not only the physical wall came down, but everything that it represented came down with it. Imagine what we will accomplish when we tear down the iron curtain that separates us from each other. All the members of the Tzibor, of the Tzadikim, Beinonim, and Rishayim, when we tear down those iron walls, the iron curtain that separates us from God, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will have no choice but to fall as well. And that will be the Geula Shleima. That will bring the redemption, that will bring the tikkun, the fixing to the world that we all hope for, we all pray for, and Be'ezet Hashem, we will meet together in Yerushalayim with the Bayis Shlishi, the Geula Shleima.
Amen.